You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Well, good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. It's good to be with all of you. We're going to be talking about loving your enemies. So this is a good message for some of us who get a little too intense at game night. Anyway, so that's just a personal thing. Not calling anybody out this morning. Speaking of games, the youth are gathering tonight at Christ Lutheran at Chippewa Falls, 6 to 8. So we'll certainly enjoy some food and games and also have a devotion. In our prayers, we're going to include Tiffany Drinkman's father, Fred Burkhart. So we'll include Fred in our prayers today. And then we're following Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 in your hymnal. The hymns for this morning, opening 825, Rise, Shine, You People. Hymn of the day, 834, O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth. Distribution hymns, 561, The Tree of Life with Every Good. 430, My Song is Love Unknown. 544, O Love, How Deep, How Broad, How High. Closing hymn 483, With High Delight Let Us Unite. Also, we do have Lent season coming up. Begins March 5th, Ash Wednesday. There's a schedule sitting out back there, also in the back of the church entrance. So feel free to pick one up, and also it's in your parish life. So hope you'll be able to make those midweek meals, 5:30 Wednesdays. Also the service, 6:30. All the way up to Holy Week. So let us begin with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
We allow time for silent reflection on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introits. Glory be to God on high.
And on earth, peace, good will toward men. We praise you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is from Genesis chapter 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. Now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual on the yellow insert. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as it is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' You foolish person, What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Or even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus says in today's gospel reading, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." Simple instructions. Love your enemy. So who are your enemies? You know, gotta love them. You want to know who they are. You may have some people come to mind, people that who don't like you, people who are trying to harm you or your reputation. Or maybe you don't have anybody that comes to mind. And the Lord does not want you to be preoccupied with your enemies, or certainly not to live in fear of anyone, especially while you're sitting in church, surrounded by family and friends, or sitting at home watching in the safety of your home. But also, the Lord doesn't want you to go out of your way to make enemies, right? You know, St. Paul says in Romans, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Of course, it's not always possible. It doesn't always depend on you to live peaceably with all. Actually, as a Christian, you do have enemies since you were baptized into Christ. Christ's enemies are your enemies. In the sermon that Jesus is giving a few verses before we picked up in today's gospel reading, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." You're blessed because you're identified with Christ, the Son of Man. People see Jesus in you, in the way you live, in the way you speak, and you're blessed because Christ has made himself known through you. You're blessed because you bear his name and you are his representative to the world. And as his representative, as the representative of Christ, you don't want to be on friendly terms with the world. As James states, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Enmity with the world on account of Christ is evidence of God's love for you and the reconciliation you have received through Christ. As we read in Romans 5, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And in 2 Corinthians, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God loved us when we were his enemies, and he reconciled us with him through Christ. And now God is loving his enemies through us, making his appeal through us, his ambassadors. And St. Paul wrote this, and St. Paul exemplified loving his enemies. Scripture tells us that on account of Christ, on accounting of bearing the name of the Son of God, Paul was often imprisoned. He endured countless beatings and often near death. And yet, despite the brutal treatment he received, Paul's love for his enemies, particularly his fellow Jews who had this animosity toward him, his love for them was extreme. He states in Romans, "I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsman according to the flesh. Paul loved his enemies so much that for their sake he said he would sacrifice his own eternal life in Christ if he could, for their sake. That's extreme love for enemy. And our Old Testament reading, it's kind of the tail end of an interesting saga that it's worth reviewing. It reminds us of how Joseph loved his enemies. Because many years prior to today's encounter, Joseph's brothers hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. They were driven by this jealousy, this hatred for their brother. Their father loved Joseph more than them, Jacob, their shared father. And Joseph would tell them about dreams, including dreams of them bowing down to him. They didn't like that, understandably. But the brothers, they were going to kill him. They decided, well, let's just sell him into slavery rather than kill him. And so they sold him into slavery. He ends up as a slave in Egypt, and that's where he lives out the rest of his life as a result of the hatred of his brothers. You could try to imagine how you might respond if you're so viciously wronged, especially by, you know, brothers or people you know and care about, and you may wonder how Joseph could possibly forgive them, let alone love them. But Joseph recognized that he was God's ambassador. Scripture tells us that God revealed to Joseph that it was him, it was God who was responsible for this whole ordeal, everything that Joseph had gone through. And it's true that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. They meant it for evil. This was wrong. So he didn't have to act like it wasn't. But if Joseph was going to be mad at anyone, it would have to be God. Because God revealed that he was in charge. God was conducting this whole thing. Sovereign God, and Joseph could trust him or not. And Joseph's faith in God was put to the test, to say the least, as he lived with what had been done to him. So the question, would Joseph let his bitterness and resentment harden his heart and embitter him? Or would he trust in God and God's word to him? Because God told Joseph that he had done this for good, Joseph could trust God. Regardless of what anyone else said or what anyone else did, God gave Joseph peace while suffering and hope in uncertainty. God enabled Joseph to forgive and to love his enemies. God enables you to do the same. God provides this extreme love for enemies like he did for Paul. You have received this extreme love. God says he loved you while you were his enemy. And God's love for you is evident in Christ, suffering, bearing your sins on himself, dying for you while you were a sinner to justify you with his blood, to save you from God's wrath, and to reconcile you with God. And as Paul said, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We rejoice in what we have freely received from God. Instead of punishment for your sins, instead of God's wrath for your sins, you are justified, you're saved, you're reconciled with God through Christ. And God wants you to live with this reality of justification and reconciliation with him, so that you live in his peace and you experience his joy. And knowing how much you have been forgiven enables you to forgive others. And knowing how much God loves you enables you to love others. This love for others doesn't come from your own sinful nature, which is turned in on itself. Your sinful inclination is to put yourself first and to demand your way. The love for others doesn't come from the world either. the world and your sinful flesh, say, to get even with your enemy. Jesus says, love your enemy. This is why God calls us together regularly in his name to receive his word and his sacraments. His love is so radical, it's so contrary to the world and our sinful nature that he pours it down again and again on us and in us. In his divine service, he pours down his love on us and in us. And he does this again and again. We need this. And we are reminded of the promises of forgiveness, of love, salvation that we have received in our baptism as we speak the words of the invocation. We're reminded that we have sinned against God, that we deserve to be punished as his enemy as we confess in our sins. We receive mercy as Jesus speaks words of forgiveness into our ears through our pastor. The forgiveness he won for us by his innocent suffering and death on the cross. And he repeats his promises to us again and again in the service through the Holy Scriptures that we hear, through the hymns, through the sermons, in Holy Communion. And the divine service, God pours out overflowing love and mercy and forgiveness into you so that it overflows to the people around you, even to your enemies. Joseph could love his enemies because he had the word and promises of God. God had revealed to Joseph that he was behind the whole thing, that God meant Joseph's years of slavery and service in Egypt to happen for the good of others, even for the saving of Joseph's father, Jacob, to whom God had promised a mighty nation and savior. And Joseph could cling to the promises of God, regardless of what others said or what others did to him. And by God's grace, Joseph trusted God, who loved him and intended good for him. And though Joseph's brothers did mean it for evil, Joseph didn't hold their sins against them. He loved them. Later, after their father died, and the brothers approached Jacob, fearing that Joseph would seek to harm in return, Joseph said, "Don't fear, for am I in place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And Joseph served as a foreshadowing of Christ, suffering at the hands of his enemies who meant what they did for evil, while God meant it for the good of others. Christ's crucifixion was meant for evil by the devil and Christ's enemies, but God meant it for good for us, for you. Joseph was reconciled with his brothers, not counting their trespasses against them. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. In obedience to Christ's command and empowered by his love, we love our enemies and all who sin against us, God making his appeal through us. We do good for them, we bless them, and we pray for them. Undeserving as they are, God loves them. Undeserving as you are, God loves you. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your servant Joseph endured hardship and struggle, yet he believed it would come to good. Give us such tested faith and bring all things to completion according to your purposes in Christ, the new Adam, who has brought hope to the world. Lord, in your mercy, preserve and unite your church, O Lord. Bring an end to her earthly divisions which grieve you. Give her the true unity of doctrine and faith in your word. Bless and sustain our leaders in our synod, district, circuit, and this congregation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son, our Lord, commanded us to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who persecute us. We implore you, by your gracious visitation, lead our enemies to true repentance and to have the same love, be of one accord, and share one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, give us guidance amid the changes and chances of this mortal life. Deliver us from the pangs of doubt and the paralysis of fear. Let us know our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection with joy, that we may not surrender to anxiety or despair. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous Lord, uphold civil authority and those responsible for the welfare of our nation, state, and community. Help them steadfastly to pursue the cause of justice and protect life from beginning to natural end. Guard all first responders and protect those who defend us here or abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, according to your will, grant healing to the sick and infirm, especially Fred, Shirley, Anita, Nan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Diane, Kara, Leah, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and Cookie. Grant them patience and patience to endure their time of suffering and crown their days with your mercy. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the gift of this blessed sacrament, O Lord. Give us a right heart as we prepare to eat and drink Christ's true body and blood, that by it we would be equipped to love you above all and our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we are poor, miserable sinners with no good in us. Our hearts and our flesh and blood are so corrupted by sin that we are never without sinful desires in this life. Therefore, we implore you, forgive us our sins. Let your Holy Spirit so cleanse our hearts that we would love your word, abide by it, and by your grace be saved forever through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.